Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz, at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. My guest today is drag superstar and winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, Jimbo, who spoke to me about her spark, Paul Rubens, legendary, life-changing, incomparable television classic, Pee-wee's Playhouse. I cannot explain how much I love Pee-wee's Playhouse and how much it means to me, so to say I was excited about this one is a massive understatement. And I really love Jimbo's work, too. So it was double excitement, and it surpassed my expectations. Jimbo has been so influenced by the aesthetics of Pee-wee's Playhouse, its sense of fun, absurdity, abstraction, the joyful weirdness of it, and, you know, it really comes through when you watch her perform. Oh, so fantastic. So, without further ado, here we go. Quick Jimbo facts. James Insel, better known by the stage name Jimbo, is a Canadian designer and drag queen who competed in the first season of Canada's Drag Race, was in the first series of RuPaul's Drag Race UK vs. the World, and won the 8th season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. Through her Drag Race appearances, Jimbo quickly emerged as a popular fan favorite thanks to her over-the-top looks and infectious sense of humor, particularly on display for her winning performance as Joan Rivers in The Snatch Game. Jimbo, a self-proclaimed drag clown, is also the founder of House of Jimbo, which comprises a clothing brand, special events production outfit, and merchandise retailer. You can catch Jimbo on her drag circus tour right now. Quick Pee-wee's Playhouse facts. Pee-wee's Playhouse is an American comedy children's television series starring Paul Rubens as the childlike Pee-wee Herman that ran from 1986 to 1990 on Saturday mornings. The show was developed from Paul Rubens' popular stage show and the TV special The Pee-wee Herman Show, produced for HBO, which was similar in style but featured much more adult humor. The premise of the show is that host Pee-wee Herman plays in the fantastic Playhouse in Puppetland. The house is filled with toys, gadgets, talking furniture and appliances, puppet characters, and Jambi, a disembodied genie's head who lives in a jeweled box. The Playhouse is visited by a regular cast of characters, including Miss Yvonne, Reba the Mail Lady, Captain Carl, Cowboy Curtis, played by Lawrence Fishburne, and a small group of children called the Playhouse Gang. Although primarily a live-action comedy, each episode includes segments featuring puppetry, video animation, and prepared sequences using chroma key and stock footage. Pee-wee's Playhouse has earned a loyal cult following over the years, and in 2007 it was also named to Time's list of the 100 best TV shows of all time. And there you have it! Get ready for some fun! Here comes my chat with Jimbo about Pee-wee's Playhouse.
As a little disclaimer before we get started, I try to maintain some sense of journalistic objectivity when I'm doing these interviews. That is not fucking possible with this because I am so obsessed with PB's Playhouse. I am so obsessed with PB Herman. So just to set the scene for you, that is where we are as we venture into this. But the start of all these conversations is your origin story with what we're talking about. So do you remember getting introduced to Pee Wee's Playhouse, seeing it for the first time? I know, you know, this may be a long time ago, but to the best of your recollection.
Hey, how do you know I didn't just watch reruns on YouTube?
Okay, sorry. I don't mean to make assumptions.
I'm joking. I did.
I know. I'll let you tell me.
Yeah, I used to watch it on TV as a kid growing up. And it was something I was always looked forward to with my little brother. And we would just tune in Saturday mornings, watch Pee Wee's Playhouse. And it was just such a magical show. It really was our first, you know, before we knew it, a little taste of some kind of queer energy, artistry, and awesomeness. So I loved the imagination, and I just remember being really captivated by how silly it was.
Yeah. And like, you know, I had the same experience when I was a kid. And I think that kind of hindsight for queer people when it's like, oh, you know, it wasn't just that it was a fun and silly show. There was something else going on there that was particularly for me.
Uh-huh.
But in addition to that, the levels of artistry, the different kinds of animation and puppetry and sometimes ventriloquism and comedy and everything just being thrown in all at once, just incredible. And, you know, as a kid, having that in your life is really, really wonderful.
Totally. And I think as a little gay kid too, where I felt like I had so many, and I still have so many interests, and Pee-wee's Playhouse, it because of its nature of being sort of all over the place, it sort of, as someone, you know, that's maybe a little bit ADHD or short attention span, or, you know, loves a variety and loves that sort of naive outlook on things. I think it was a really, really fun show that covered a lot of ground in each episode without really having to think so much about why we were watching what we were watching. And I think that's what made it so fun, is that anything could happen in an episode, and it did usually. So,
yeah. And I guess that feeling of like, really simple, naive, like childlike look at the world, but also really sophisticated, really sharp, and humor that didn't patronize kids. It was like, kids can handle jokes that are actually funny instead of just, you know, there are jokes that are silly and targeted at kids as well, but just weird, like absurd things. I was watching the first episode, and the like giant salesman coming to the door, he's like, well, you know, we're trying to sell boats or whatever, and he's just like, oh, salesman, you know.
Yeah, I remember, and that being particularly, you know, talking to when a stranger would come to the door, and that feeling of, you know, like, who are those people at the door, that, you know, the Mormons or the sellers or the different people that would come door to door. And yeah, I thought that was so funny as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also, you know, kind of the way that an adult would react to having somebody, a salesman, coming to their door, but just,
exactly.
You know, they would go, oh, thank you very much, and kind of roll their eyes instead of going, ah! But maybe that is more in line with what people wish they could do.
Right.
But another thing, I mean, this is kind of outside of the feelings part of it, but the amount of really amazing creative people who had their start either from Pee Wee's Big Adventure or from this. And like Paul Rubens was a person who really understood the aesthetics he was looking for, had a really clear vision of everything. You know, working with people like Tim Burton and Danny Elfman and Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo, all these people who their careers skyrocketed from working with him and from being a part of these projects. And having something that's like, you know, this really incredible, inspiring thing for kids, for adults, for everyone, but also massively inspiring for the artists who worked on it, is just like such a testament to his genius.
Yeah, I think it was a major outlet for people to come and just be weird, and people that were being celebrated for in other places and maybe, you know, being a little bit more serious, got to come to Pee Wee's Playhouse and show other sides. And I think that was always really surprising, the level of stars and guests that they had come share, you know, that gravitas with, you know, supposedly children. And I think it also made kids feel important that there was a kids show that had people and artists at this level that was considered for adults or otherwise brought to their level. And then you got to see these artists sort of participate and in play and imagination. And I thought, what an amazing way to sort of to be an outlet for people. So
yeah, yeah. And actually, in the first episode, Natasha Lyonne, like the first TV job she ever did as a child, and just seeing her there is crazy too. And you know, when Paul Rubens died, she was like, "Thank you for my career. You're, you know, responsible for everything that good that's ever happened to me." That kind of stuff. So yeah, totally amazing. You touched on it with Cher, but we do need to have a special segment just for the Christmas special, because
right,
that is like, as a standalone thing, I mean, the number of times at Christmas time when I've watched that with my friends through the years over and over again, unbelievable.
Right. I haven't seen it in a really long time, but anything, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse is always good. I think, you know, it's this amazing place where people can come and just be whacked and just fully dive in. And I need to watch that again because I know it's just absolutely epic.
Yeah. I kind of scanned through it just a little while ago, and it's like Charo, Grace Jones, Katie Lang, Little Richard, Cher, Magic Johnson, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, and Joan Rivers, all in the same special. And it shows how much people loved him, but also packing all of that queerness into one half-hour Christmas special is
magic.
Yeah, and it is like one of the gayest, if not the gayest Christmas specials of all time.
I think it's the gayest, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was magic in that way, just bringing together all these incredible people. And I wish that there was still something like that happening now. It feels like that was something that was so special of a kind of like a magic time.
Yeah. And who knows if it could happen now? Like, I think if that exact show were released now, given the current climate, especially in this country with conservative politicians kind of stoking up fear about really stupid shit.
Right.
You know, there's a very strong queer aesthetic. There's a very strong drag aesthetic in this show, which is funny that, like, you know, this was Reagan era, like you think of that as really conservative time, but maybe people were a little bit more oblivious to the kind of queerness in this show.
I think it's basically, there was just less fear mongering back then in that sense. Like, people were just allowed to just be, you know, it was a just different sense and a different time, I guess. But yeah, I think it's amazing what people considered okay and allowed for all ages before. And I think it definitely led to people just being a little bit smarter. I think kids are a lot more intelligent and tuned in than adults, and, you know, we give them credit for. And Pee-wee's Playhouse really, it did play to all levels and in this really smart way, which was, and which didn't really play down to kids. And I think that is amazing. And I wish that there was more of that still happening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also exposing kids to all different kinds of people. I mean, everyone who worked on the show said it was a really diverse cast, but also a really diverse crew. And that was intentional. Paul Rubens was very specific about that, saying, I want to make sure that there's tons of kind of people represented, so it doesn't feel like it's just targeted at white kids. And some of the people who worked on the crew, there's John Singleton, who directed like Boys in the Hood, was a PA on the set or something. It was one of his first TV jobs. And he said he walked in and it wasn't, you know, normally the experience is he's the only black person and it feels kind of isolating. And this was like, there were lots of other black people and there were women doing jobs that you wouldn't necessarily think of women doing, or women wouldn't get opportunities to do, like, you know, crew positions and whatever. So building that kind of atmosphere from the backstage stuff, the set and whatever, and then having that on the screen to really just like, not, you know, make a big point of saying, we have lots of different people and this is what the world is like, but just saying, this is what it's like.
Right.
It's, you know, it's not a big deal.
Well, he was a true artist and a true collaborator. And, you know, that is how the real world works. A real world and real communities of artists and makers and creators are diverse. And I think he would really celebrate it and try to invite those people in. That's where the best art and that's where a lot of the love comes from, is in the diversity and in the artists and in those people. And so I think that that's amazing that Pee Wee was able to, at that time, go against all kinds of norms that were happening to go, these are the people I want to work with. These are the people I want to celebrate. And I think that that's what made it resonate with so many more people, is people were able to really see themselves in the show where they hadn't done that before.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that kind of like emotional, like, really important side of it. And then there's the really fucking stupid shit. And that is just as amazing to me. The like, I one of my favorite things that I think about probably too much and have done over the course of my life is when he gets married to a bowl of fruit salad.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I love fruit salad. And somebody's like, well, why don't you marry it? Okay, I will. And, you know, goes through the whole wedding ceremony. And that kind of stuff is just like silliness.
Yeah, living out that fantasy. I think we've all said, well, if you love it so much, why don't you marry it? And so right. I think it's so funny to, yeah, live that fantasy out and go, well, maybe I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that silliness and really taking an idea and going crazy with it. Sketch comedy. And I know he got his start in improv and in The Groundlings, which is all about yes and bigger. And that's something I really resonate with as well. I got my start in improv, vaudeville theater and clowning around. And so I have a lot of sort of kindred spirit, I feel like, to Pee Wee and that energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with The Groundlings stuff, like the kind of original genesis of the character of Pee Wee is a lot more adult, and the special that he did or the show that he was doing in LA and that built into an HBO special and then eventually became the movie, there are a lot of really adult things in it. And it's like Missy Vaughn kind of lusting after, I think, not Cowboy Curtis, he wasn't in the show. Anyway, she's lusting after someone and like obsessing about him, and she's like putting lipstick on and going, you know, the boy that she's obsessed with is like dating someone else. And she's like, is she pretty? Is she prettier than me? And just like doing lipstick around and around in giant circles until it's like all the way up to her cheeks.
Oh my God.
So taking that stuff and kind of, you know, taking a little bit of the most like over the top sexual nature of it, but not really changing much of it, and getting it on kids' TV on the weekend is crazy.
So funny. So funny. And now, you know, we're lucky we get to see a lot of that energy on Drag Race. I feel like there's so many mini challenges, and I feel like we get to bring so much of that culture forward. And now it's not a big deal. Most of, you know, we're seeing those kind of playful, you know, double entendres, but like not even double entendre anymore. They're just full out. And it's it's amazing to see, you know, what we say, like they got away with showing, and what is we're watching nowadays. It's so different.
Right.
I'm glad. It's, you know, the more information, the more we look at, the more we sort of strip away stereotypes and ideas of what, you know, should be held as bad or taboo and important, we really start to look at what is actually true and meaningful and what we should actually be afraid of and not afraid of.
Time for a quick break, because somebody's got to keep the lights on around here, but we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
There is definitely, you know, drag is much more mainstream now than it was in the 80s. It's much more, or at least it's much more visible because it's on TV and all that. But like having those very draggy references in this kids show on a Saturday, I mean, I'm thinking of Jambi in particular.
Right.
Like full, like painted like a drag queen. And the same, like, I think the actor who played Jambi was gay. You know, I don't have that confirmed, but all signs point to yes. You know, Magic 8-Ball says that. But yeah, just like incredible, silly, campy, over-the-topness that is so gay and so like just resonates with me so much because of that. And I know a lot of other kids who are not queer still love it and got a lot from it.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But there is something special, I think, for all of us queer kids that it was like, you know, felt like being seen and yeah, really special.
Totally. Yeah. I think that there's similarities in all kinds of pop culture that we see later in life, you know, when the gay community really has been able to sort of say what are our influences, like John Waters and things like, you know, other references that we all kind of collected, you know, Death Becomes Her, movies like that, movies like The Addams Family. It's so cool to see how those things shaped and spoke to a queer generation before we were all sort of, you know, in development. So it's fun seeing, you know, what things grabbed who, and Pee-wee's Playhouse has certainly grabbed everybody, but it was another one of those things that kind of tickled as something special for, I think, queer people and really fulfilled something that there wasn't happening at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, things that aren't necessarily don't have to be queer, but are like just lots of different patterns and colors and whatever, and just the way that each section of the house was like divided into a different environment that was like a different world that all just feels like this giant queer fantasy to me. And again, just watching the first episode where so much happens, like every minute is full of things and it's like a different character is being introduced and incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah, in a way, I've modeled my own house kind of after Pee-wee's Playhouse. So this is the side where things are kind of clean and organized and white and tidy. It's where we do our business on this side. But the other side of my house is all my costumes, and it's painted all kinds of crazy colors, and it's filled with toys. And it's amazing to see how much of my life now is really inspired by that show. And I didn't even really think about it. It was something that I watched Pee-wee's Playhouse in the 80s. And then, you know, it's not something I really watched or thought about that much throughout my early 20s and into my 30s. And it wasn't really until sort of a nostalgic sort of look back that I really thought like, oh, let me watch this. Let me go back to this and let me see what about this. And I thought, oh my God, wow. So much of who I am and the things that I love is based on things I watched in this show. So
yeah. Yeah.
I'll take you over there just for the fun of it.
Amazing.
Just so you can see my little Jimbo's Playhouse over here, sacrificing my lighting for you.
I appreciate it.
Under the stairs. Here's my kitchen here.
Amazing.
All my little toys and cot.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Craziness over here. So, you know, I like to live my life in that similar way of just surrounding myself in art and color and craziness. I've got my own little stage in my place here.
So incredible.
Yeah. So one day I want to have my own little show, Jimbo's House of Jimbo, sort of a Pee-wee's Playhouse-esque style show. So
yeah. Oh my God.
We'll see.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Yeah, I mean, that's like, how much more of a direct influence can you get than that? It's, you know, I could see exactly how much, I mean, you know, that's not the only reference, I'm sure, but I can see that influence. And it's that same feeling of just like letting everything in, experiencing all of the things that you want to experience, letting your imagination run wild and not limiting yourself in terms of the way that you express yourself. And what a legacy. Like, I still feel he's one of those people who is a famous person who's died that it feels like, not like a member of my own family, but like it really affected me. And it's just because he touched my life and the lives of so many people in such a deep way.
He's a source of originality too. So it's like, not only is, you know, he's touched so many lives, he's also an original voice and he's a pioneer. So it's, you know, that's a loss of this great cultural icon that created so many things. So yeah, there isn't a lot of famous people or artists or people that really, that I necessarily connected with, that I really felt or resonated with when they passed. But certainly when PB passed, that was definitely something I felt as well. That was, you know, a big loss to the world. But he left such an incredible legacy, and that is still woven throughout culture, and I'll continue to weave it into my art as well. So I think that's a testament to how amazing he is.
Yeah. And just a way for, you know, for him to live on through other people's love for him and other people's appreciation of his creativity, and, you know, being able to take that creativity and turn it into new things and help use it as inspiration to evolve that seed of creativity into something that's, you know, even fresher and newer and bring those ideas to new generations.
Right.
Very exciting. Also, just thinking about like the different, not just the things that he was doing while he was on screen, but like, I mentioned this before, but the different styles of animation and like the kind of stop motion claymation stuff that was done by Nick Park, who did, you know, worked for Aardman and did Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run and all that stuff later on. But incorporating like the old cartoons from like the 40s and 50s that were in the public domain, so he could just throw things like that in.
Right.
And even the beginning, the opening credits, where it like starts out kind of sweet and birds chirping, and then it just goes, and this theme song kicks in and it's like a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Do you know that that was Cyndi Lauper singing the theme song?
Yeah, I did. I did. I listened to a little podcast about that. And yeah, it was interesting to, yeah, just to hear how many different artists and people that you didn't think, like even Natasha Leon, as you mentioned on in that first episode. It's just cool to see how many people are woven into that story.
Yeah, yeah. And Lawrence Fishburne, who, you know, is a serious actor. And, you know, you think of like The Matrix. I mean, he's done some funny stuff. He was on Blackish, I think, and other stuff. But I think of him as somebody who's like a very serious actor. And it's like, ooh, Cowboy Curtis, you know, really. But he loves it. And
he was sexy. I was looking at back at that too. Yeah, he was very handsome.
Yeah, yeah. Again, like to have somebody who is a big movie star and, you know, somebody who took themselves a little too seriously might look back on that and say, yeah, that was like a job that I did and it wasn't a big deal. But he speaks about it with such affection and is like, it was a really important time for him and he had so much fun and Paul Rubens was so sweet to everybody and blah, blah, blah. So
yeah, God, no doubt.
Yeah. And that's another thing, not to keep gushing about how much I love Paul Rubens, but everyone who worked with him just talked about how generous and kind and wonderful he was. And I heard this story after he died that somebody, some guy like wrote to him and said, my son really loves Peavy's Playhouse. And if you just send him a picture or whatever. And he called this guy and was like, why don't you guys just come over to my house and you can have dinner with me and my mom and we'll just all hang out. And they went to his house and are just like, you know, complete strangers. And it was like just a nice thing. He's like, oh, it's great to see you guys. Thanks for, you know, gave him a tour, showed him all the toys right. And all that. What a guy.
Yes, you know, he's just a real person and an artist too. And that doesn't surprise me at all. I love meeting my fans when I go around the world. I love meeting people, connecting with people. And really when you're an artist and you're a creator and you're a performer, that's who you're doing it for. You're doing it for the artist. You're doing it for those people that are writing letters to you and really putting that effort to let you know that they resonate and love you. So I can see myself doing that same thing. I would love, you know, I love connecting with people and hearing their stories. And, you know, especially when you're an artist and certainly when you become at the level of Pee Wee, you know, it's important to connect with all kinds of people and real people. And at that level, maybe you don't necessarily get to do that all the time. So I'm sure that that was as much for that little boy and that family as it was for Pee Wee or Paul to probably go and just, you know, be real and meet with people that that resonate with his work. So
right. And like you're saying, you know, somebody who's on TV or makes movies or whatever, those mediums, there's this, you know, the screen is the barrier between you and the audience. You don't really necessarily have to have, you know, meet and greets or get opportunities to kind of sit down with people if you don't want to.
Right.
So saying that's a part of it. I want to, you know, show the fans that I appreciate them, but also just like getting to be around people who can tell you that like what they like about your work and how it's touched them and all of those things. It's like, why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite moments, any favorite characters that you can think of throughout the show?
Well, I guess I loved all of the puppets, Cherry, and I think I just love the spirit, you know, giving things spirits or giving things human-like qualities is always kind of fun. And I love that silliness and playfulness of all those different puppets that were on the show. And, you know, that framework of living in puppet land just kind of gives you this like endless world to play in and to create in. So I really love that aspect. I'm a puppeteer as well. I toured with a company, Atomic Vaudeville, touring as a puppeteer. So, and I'm also a maker, a sculptor and a prop builder. So making puppets and bringing things to life is something that I think is just so exciting and interesting. And ventriloquism, as you said, is such a cool old art form. And so I love the puppet of Little Randy and yeah. So I think the puppets were my favorite part.
Yeah. And, you know, like I was saying, there's all these different styles of animation, but I think the practical things where it's like things you can touch, things you can see, and it feels a little bit more like it's real, like it's in the world with you because it was physically in the same space with him. It's not like he's on a, you know, it isn't the green screen stuff.
Right. It's not CGI or Pixar.
Right. But then, like you're saying, taking these inanimate objects and bringing them to life in like the silliest way possible, where it's like, you know, Cherry, Globy, Flory, you know, like whatever is around.
Yeah, down the wire, I'm gonna put some eyes on it.
Right, right. And giving, like making them actual characters. It's not just like, oh, that's the floor and he's just, you know, don't walk on me or something. It's like, they're not people, but they are like beings that, you know, contribute to the story. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's just all about having imagination and bringing imagination to life and really bring sort of that childhood wonder into the real world. So I love that part about it, and I wish more of my things talked and came to life.
Yeah, yeah. And making, you know, giving these people giving these characters, you know, real personalities and real lives, and then getting them involved in all of these like micro dramas in every episode.
Right, exactly.
And again, referencing the pilot that like he goes to the, whatever the video phone is called, which I love as well, like predicting Zoom or whatever. He has like a different background that he pulls down every time he goes to talk to anybody. But there's, you know, the captain is like at sea and he's lost and needs help. And so Globy is like spinning around. He's like, oh, I found him. He's here in the Sandwich Islands. And it's like, obviously a sandwich.
Right. Yeah. The props and all of those things that they made is just so cool.
Yeah.
Seeing all of the different levels of artistry that went into creating all of that beyond, you know, just animation. It was all, you know, all the different puppeteers below and above and all the art that went into making those things, I think is just what made it so engaging on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm. And then that story is maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes long, but it seems like, you know, it'll stick in your mind as like, oh, this big thing, like maybe that was a whole episode that happened. And it's a tiny fraction of one episode. And there are, you know, 15 of those things in each episode. So the amount of work and creativity and storytelling and all of those things that goes into every second of it, it's just so well thought out. And there's so much happening, but it doesn't feel overwhelming. It feels just right.
Right. Yeah, no, it was a perfect cacophony of all different, you know, all the senses. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is a lovely place to finish
Well, it was so nice taking a little walk down at memory lane, thinking about Pee Wee's Playhouse with you. It's definitely something that has shaped my artistry and me as an artist in this world. And I love celebrating it with you and talking all about it. So thank you for meeting with me today. And I'm currently preparing for my new show, Jimbo's Drag Circus. So I'll be hitting the road, touring across North America and down to Australia, and then I'll be touring around the world with that. So I'll be able to sort of, you know, keep bringing my own brand of Jimbo and weirdness inspired by Pee Wee to the world. So if you happen to be out there, I hope you'll come check out my show.
Yes, yes, I am. I already have plans, so don't you worry. Yep. Yes, I so appreciate this. I appreciate you making time for me. This has been so much fun, and the chance to talk to you and to talk about one of my favorite shows in history was a true joy.
Me too. Yeah, I loved it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yay! That was so great. Thanks again to Jimbo for chatting with me. You can catch Jimbo's Drag Circus on tour right now by heading to dragfans.com. Okay, quick spark of the week from me. There's a new exhibition at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York called The Harlem Renaissance and Transatlantic Modernism, and it is fantastic. There's more than 150 pieces of art celebrating work by Black artists from the 1920s to the 1940s, and it is pretty astonishing. It's so carefully curated, so many interesting pieces across lots of different media, and it takes care to illustrate the influence that Black artists of that era had on artists from all over the globe. So, highly, highly recommended. And that's about it for this time around. Please follow me on social media at Spark Parade. Please rate the show 5 stars and leave me a lovely little review wherever you can. And until next time, bye!
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.